Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have all of you here with us in the room and all of you with us on Facebook. I know we've been getting some views and people have been checking us out, so that's been pretty cool, and we thank you for being here. Hey, you know, just because you're on Facebook doesn't mean you can't be here. We'd love to have you here some Sunday, so come visit us. That'd be awesome. We'd be excited to have you here. So we love your feedback, too. So even if you're here in the room or you're on Facebook, we'd love to hear from you about what you are learning or how you're growing or what you'd like to see. Maybe different or that you like, whatever. So send us an email, drop us a line, come up and talk to us after the service, just to let us know what's going on. So you can comment on the link here today or later on, or like I said, drop us an email. That's on our website. You can do it there. So there's just always so much to do. So many different opportunities for which we can use our time, right? But sometimes you just need to stop and do something non-productive. Just slow down. Not all the time, but every once in a while. Now, for those of you who know me, I usually need to be doing something or else I feel guilty that I'm not doing anything. So it's hard for me to slow down and do nothing. So but last night, I just felt this strong conviction. Jan and Ronnie were supposed to go to see a movie at a church outside. And the weather was kind of like iffy, so they were like, well, we'll go check it out. And then when they got there, it was going to start until way late, like after the sunset. And so they were like, wow, this is bad. So they called me and said, hey, we want to watch this movie. Can you check out and see if any place has it? So we did a little bit of research and found out that there was a place that had the movie. And they came home, and I'm like, you know, I had this conviction I should have been going with them anyway. And then, God, you bring the movie here. So I'm like, okay, so I'm going to watch this movie. So sometimes things just fall into place when you don't expect them, and so that was one of those things. So anyway, they get back, they bring the movie here, and we sit down to watch this movie. And the movie was called Wonder. Now maybe some of you have seen this movie, maybe some of you haven't, but it's worth checking out because it's a very interesting movie. It's not a very faith-based movie. I won't push it in that direction, but it does have a story to tell. And I'm not going to give you all the details, but I do want to give you a little bit of background to it, because I think God just weaves things sometimes, and you don't know what he's doing when he's doing it, but then you look back and go, wow, that's what he's doing. So it's about this boy with a cranial facial disorder, and he has to have 27 surgeries over the course of his life. And up to the point in this movie, he had been homeschooled. They kind of have him show him born, and then they get to this point in the movie where he's homeschooled, and mom all of a sudden decides that now is the time, he's heading into middle school, and now is the time for him, he's got to get adjusted, he's got to get used to people, and he's been around people and it hasn't been good. Well, the boy's name is Augie, and this boy goes to school, to middle school, and it's not a normal public school, it's like a prep school, a preparatory school, and so it's supposed to be a better environment for him. As much as they try to prepare him for this moment, we all know that kids can be cruel. They just say what's on their mind, and they don't hold back. And so he faces a lot of opposition. But what I want to focus in on here is Augie had to face something in his life. Augie was afraid of what people thought about him. It was his greatest fear, what people thought. In fact, early on in the movie, he gets the space helmet, and he wears a space helmet everywhere so that his face is hidden, so that he can't be seen. So he can be this imaginary person, and he's like this hero when he's wearing the space helmet. He's not himself. But at some point, he has to take this space helmet off as he enters school, because you can't wear a space helmet around the school. Augie wants to fit in so bad, but his looks, his fear of how people view him, are what is holding that back, him being fitting in. Now, fear is real because it's often based in what we know is a possible outcome to a circumstance or an opportunity, right? Augie knew that by going to school, he was likely going to face some opposition. He was likely going to face guys and girls who picked on him, who said hard things, who didn't like him, who stared at him. He'd experienced some of that already. But now he was going to be within his peer group all day long, without mom, without dad, there to protect him. But fear is a constrictor. It keeps us from experiencing things, freedoms, blessings, and other opportunities. Have you ever thought about this question? What does fear keep me from doing? What does fear keep me from doing? That's a question I'd like for you to kind of wrestle with a little bit today as we go into this. Because we all have fears. That is reality. But how do we face them? How do we conquer them? How do we use our fears as launching boards instead of stumbling blocks? Consider this in light of our journey of faith. Are we truly living by faith, trusting God, if our fears keep holding us back? Does the enemy leverage our fears to keep us from truly experiencing what it is to live by faith? Think about that. Have you ever thought about that, actually? That the enemy could be using your fears to leverage against you, to keep you from experiencing what it is to live by faith. And this is nothing new in the growth of a believer. In fact, it's often our fear that God uses to grow our faith. Think about that. If we step into our fear, He can use it to grow our faith. But we have to be willing to step on fear. And that's the title of our series. Throughout this series, we're going to look at what it takes to step on fear. And today, we'll be looking at the motivating factor of faith, because we need to step on fear with faith. And we'll be looking at this through the lens of Acts 12 through 21. So if you have your Bibles with you and you want to follow along, that's where we'll be in Acts 5. I know we kind of skipped over it last week. We weren't in Acts, but we're back in Acts this week, and we've talked about Ananias and Sapphira. So if you want a little history of what's been going on, you can back up and read that. We're just going to jump right in here at verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. The high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how amazing is your word, that it gives us these examples of great faith. Lord, as we think about this today, I just pray that you stir in the hearts of those hearing this message the fear that's holding them back and the faith that they need to take that step into fear or on fear, that this message would encourage them to do that, and that you would be glorified through it, and that their faith would grow because of it, that they would experience the blessings that you have for them. Lord, use this message to move us, to change us, to transform us, to know that fear is a tool of the enemy, and it's a liar. That's what we pray today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So usually, we dive right into the passage verse by verse. I know you guys are used to that, because that's the way we've been doing it. But today, I think it would be helpful to consider some contrasting verses to what is occurring here in the passage today. Because when we see this, we're super encouraged by the faith of the disciples. They're sold out for Jesus here, aren't they? They're doing what He's called them to do. They're healing people. They're speaking in the colonnade. This is awesome. They're standing boldly in the face of what is one of the greatest fears, to stand in opposition of the gospel. If we're honest, how fearful are we to share the gospel of Christ. Yet here these guys are in this place sharing the gospel of Christ. That's pretty awesome. They're bold, aren't they? And they're doing it despite what others might think. Now, to set the stage of these other records, we must remember these disciples whom we see here were not always so bold. In fact, after spending 3 years living with Jesus, let's look at some of the ways they responded in fear. First, in the book of Matthew, as Jesus had finished praying, the guards from the temple came to arrest him. And after the scuffle with Peter and one of the servants of the high priest, this happens. Matthew 26, 56b. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Jesus is being taken away by the high priest and these guards, and all the disciples flee. Then, in the courtyard following this occurrence, Peter, we see here acting with such faith. Let's fear consume him as he responds not to a high priest, but to a servant girl. Look at Matthew 26, 69 through 73. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." And he denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Now, if you read the rest of that account, Peter runs off and runs outside and starts to cry. Why? Why did he respond that way? I'm going to submit it's out of fear. Now, that's just Peter, right? Now, the disciples fled when they arrested. You can almost feel that scene. You get it. It's tense. Where are we going to, do it, right? But then, let's get back to the group. Jesus is crucified. It's done. It's finished. He's in the grave. It's over. And where do you find the disciples? With doors locked in John 20:19a, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for, what's the word there? Fear of the Jewish leaders. Now, just, you got to take all that in and think about what's happening then versus now. Here these guys are stricken with fear. They're letting fear grip them. They're immobilized by fear. And yet, what do we see happening in verse 12 of Acts 5? The apostles perform many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Now, we've talked about this before, but Solomon's colonnade is actually in the temple compound. They're within the walls of the temple. This is where all the priests, all the guards, they would have all been present in this place. Now, we know that that's kind of out the common area, but they still would have been around there. They still would have been able to see from the inside what was going on outside in the colonnade. And of all the places they could have met, why in the world would they choose to meet within the temple compound? Because these were not the same men. These were not the same men. These were men who were no longer driven by fear, but they were men who were driven by faith. You know, I was thinking about this message last night. This thought came to me. Because sometimes you look at something like this and you go, they're just stupid for meeting there. Why would they do that? Why would they be in this place? And sometimes when we do things out of faith, people look at them and go, are they stupid? What do they believe in? But this thought came over me when I was thinking about this. Faith allows you to do things that don't always align with things that make sense. Think about that. Faith allows you to do things that don't always align with things that make sense. You want some examples? the movie I just told you a little bit about. If you watch it, you'll see it's an awesome ending. It's a little teaser there for you. I'll give you another example. Starting a church is a crazy step of faith. And there's a lot of fear. I'll tell you that right now. It took a lot of faith to step out and go, we're going to start this church. There was a lot of fear in me. Listen, for any of you knowing this story about starting church, I was all against it. In seminary, they said, you should take a church planning class. And I said, no, I'm never going to take a church planning class because I'm never going to plant a church. Never say never to God. Because I was afraid. I was afraid of doing it. I was afraid of failing at it. And so I didn't want to do it. But it took a step of faith to do it. How about this one? How about walking up to the altar and saying, I do, to someone for the rest of your life? Is that a step of faith? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some people that are shaking in their boots as they're walking up there. I mean, some of you have seen some of the pictures of the people up there and they got help me written on the bottom of their shoes. You know, I don't know. I'm thinking they were thinking something in that moment. Or maybe it was just the best man messing with the groom. I don't know. But here's these guys. These guys who were living in fear prior to this moment. It doesn't say just Peter was there. It says all the disciples were there in Solomon's colonnade. Their centerpiece for faith is gone. He's not present anymore, although he was there with them. And they could have easily dissipated back into their normal lives, couldn't they? But they took a bold step of faith and stepped on fear to be out there for Jesus. Now I want to tell you, when we stand on faith, no one can come against us. Think about that. When we stand on faith, no one can come against us. In fact, living outside of fear and by faith will lift us up. Look at verse 13. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Now, it seems living by faith is a deterrent to others based on what we see here. Even though they were highly regarded by the people, the text says now no one else dared join them. But if you look at the next line, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to the number daily. Now, I don't know about you, but I read this and I'm going, that sounds like a contradiction. If no one else dared join them, how are there being people added to their number daily? What is Luke trying to tell us here? And I'm going to submit that Luke must be recording for us the observation that other teachers in this place, there would have been a lot of other teachers in the temple, and they would not walk up to them and join them in their teaching. Because he can't be talking about other people, because we see that other people were being added to their number. And that idea resolves the tension between verse 13 and 14. Which I got to tell you, it's really interesting. Sometimes when I get into studying things, I get frustrated because it just seems some scholars leave out some of these tensions. They don't address them. And if we don't talk about them, we don't understand them. They can get us confused and thinking, well, the Bible is contradicting itself. But it's not. It's not. We just need to clarify what they're talking about. But think about that. Think about the faith it must have taken for these disciples to stand in that place and preach among other schooled teachers. Now keep in mind that all the rabbis, all the teachers in that place, they had been schooled from a young age. The disciples had not been. They only had 3 years with Jesus. And what were they preaching? What he preached. What he taught. These weren't wise scholars. They were unschooled men. In fact, if you flip back into Acts 4, it even says that the council says, these are unschooled men. And yet, they're preaching, and people are following. Now think about what their faith did. In Acts 5, 15 through 16, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets. Now just stop right there. As a result, because of what they were doing, because they were bold enough to stand there and preach and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place, people were moved to faith. Because they were healing in this place, people were moved to do something. They brought the sick into the streets and they laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits. And all of them, if you got your pen out or your pencil underlined, all of them were healed. All of them. Not some, not just a few, not random ones. All of them were healed. All of them. By overcoming their fear, by the disciples overcoming their fear with faith, the disciples inspired others to act in faith. I mean, you think, well, Ron, where are you getting at? I don't know about you, but it takes a lot of faith to think that a shadow would have the ability to heal someone. Now, I do know that in this time, people believed that shadows were mysterious. In this time era, that they believed they had some kind of supernatural power. In fact, and there's some movies even that have been out today that act like shadows are something mysterious and different. And they have some supernatural powers. But think about the faith it took. And wasn't it the faith of that woman who touched the cloak of Jesus' robe that healed her? It wasn't the cloak that healed her. It was her faith. Now, you understand, she had been rejected by so many people because of her illness and her sickness. So she had to step into her fear, step into a crowd, reach out and touch this Messiah, and have faith that it was going to do something. She had to look past her fear in order for that to happen. And the result of people being healed is that the people's faith grew. Others believed, and the process just continued. Think about that. By the apostles, by the disciples, acting in faith, it inspired others to act in faith, and it was this snowball. You think, Ron, what has that got to do with us? I'll tell you. We still have the same power. We still have the same ability to step into or on our fears in faith and let other people see that. And so they're moved to faith as well. Faith in the world's definition is complete trust or confidence in something or someone. But God's definition is found in Hebrews 11. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. The author there is talking about God, about the ability of believing in Jesus Christ for salvation, for healing, for eternal life. Faith is living outside of what we know and acknowledging there is something more, something or someone who can do greater things than we can ever expect or imagine. Church, are you with me on that? Do we live like that? Do we live with that kind of faith? Living outside of ourselves, of what we know. Saying that there is something more, something bigger, something greater, something that we never would expect or imagine. We should expect, though, that acting in faith will likely have opposition. Because that's what happened here. That's why the story is here to be told. Look at verses 17 and 18. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in jail. Now I know that Luke records for us that it was jealousy. But do you really think that's all it was? Do you really think it was only jealousy that moved these teachers of the law to want these guys removed? What was it that motivated them to come against Jesus? I'm going to submit that it was fear. fear that people might listen, that they might follow, and then they might no longer listen to them. Fear that they might lose position, control, and power over what made them feel secure. In fact, even the punishment they cast down on the disciples is kind of representative of this. Now, they could have locked them away in a jail cellar away from the people. But where did they do it? They did it in a public jail cell, outside, out in the open, so they could be seen, public. So they could be seen locked up. It was supposed to send a message to the people. Once again, God proves faith is always greater than fear. God steps in when it seems that there is no way out. If you look at this situation, they are trapped. They're within the temple compound. They're within the public jail. They're certainly going to stand before the Sanhedrin tomorrow. This is it. This is it. There's no way out. And one of my favorite lines in the Bible always says, but, because God is right behind the but. But during the night in verses 19 through 21, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. He said to them, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. So, they're free. At daybreak, they enter the temple courts as they have been told and began to teach the people. But think about this. You know, you think, okay, they're out. They're out of jail. They could go anywhere they want. They could walk clear out of the temple compound, couldn't they? But they had to have faith to stay. It says during the night the angel came, right? During the night. So they had to wait until morning. And wait until the sun came up for them to do what the angel told them to do. I don't know about you, but I'd be thinking in that moment, are we crazy? We just got locked up for doing this and we're going to do it again? Man, I don't know. And I'd let fear consume me instead of faith drive me. But not these guys. They respond in obedience. I'm going to submit something to you this morning. There is only one thing that can conquer fear. Only one thing. It's faith. Faith is the one thing that can conquer fear. Now, if you were in their shoes, how would you respond? How would we respond to that situation? I mean, are we willing to live like a disciple by faith, as they did? Are we really willing to step up to the plate and go, I trust you, God. I believe that you're out there and you've got a plan. And I want to live by faith so I can step on fear. Because if we let fear rule, how are we living by faith? This is probably one of the shortest messages because there's a lot I want you to munch down on. There's a lot I want you to take in and consider. This is not, oh, we're done and we can leave this here. I really want you to take what we've talked about this morning and kind of mull over it. So as we wrap up today, I want to encourage each of you to contemplate, what is your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear? And once you identify it, think about what God would say about it. What would God say about your greatest fear? And then I want to encourage you to take a step of faith that would directly address the fear. A step that stands in stark contrast to it. So I've left five things here to help you consider this, to help you consider these thoughts as you do. First one is, faith and fear cannot exist in the same moment. Think about that. Faith and fear cannot exist in the same moment. They're contradictory. They're like a magnet. You know when you put a magnet the wrong way, it kind of rejects the other? It's the same thing. If you have faith and fear, it's going to reject it. You can't have faith and fear in the same moment. Faith has nothing to do with our ability, but with God's ability. Right? I mean, if we're acting in faith, who are we relying on? You can't do it. There's nothing you're going to do to change it. Nothing. What is your greatest fear, and what are you going to do to change it? Nothing. But what can God do to change it? Anything He wants. Anything He wants. Faith makes the impossible possible. Think about that. Faith makes the impossible possible. When those guys were in jail, it looked like it was sure for certain, done. They were going to stand trial before the Sanhedrin. They were likely going to face a penalty that Jesus faced. And yet the story goes on. Faith makes the impossible possible. What are you thinking is impossible right now? What is your fear telling you is impossible? Because with faith, it's possible. We need to believe that, church. We, meaning I'm included. Because faith makes the impossible possible. But faith has other purposes. It allows God's glory to be revealed. When we're acting in fear, we're not representing God. We're representing us. Aren't we? We're letting what we think in that moment take charge. But when we operate in faith, we're letting what God says about us be true. What does God say about you? God's message is clear. He said that He loves you. He says that once you believe in Him, you're His. That no one can snatch you from His hand. There is nothing in this world that will ever give you the same security that faith in Jesus Christ can give you. And when we live like that, when we live in faith, His glory is revealed. Because we're living not in fear anymore. We're living in faith. We're stepping on fear and going, no. No. And then the last point is this. Faith has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with God. Sometimes you hear people, I acted in faith. No, you didn't act in faith. You put faith in God and He did something. That's what happened. These guys acted in faith. They were healing people. They were casting out demons. Goodness, even Peter's shadow was being cast down on these people, and people were being healed. Come on. Then they're in jail, public jail. And God sends an angel down. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have an angel sent down. Well, you know why? I don't think angels are involved anymore as much as they could be. Because we don't act in faith. Because faith has nothing to do with us. And if you think about it, we're all about us. Let's stop being about us and be all about Him. Let's let Him do His work. I don't want to spoil this movie for you, but I'll tell you, the movie got me fired up last night. Because this young boy used his fear to move others. His fear moved others to faith. It inspired them. Isn't that what the church needs today? Don't we need a bunch of people who are saying, I follow Jesus and I love Jesus, to be representing that fear has no hold on them, but that faith does. And that's contagious. Why are churches dwindling today? Because faith isn't evident. Why was the church growing in number daily then? Because faith was evident. Let's pray. Father God, sometimes it's so difficult because we want to be in control. We want to not let go. We have a hard time surrendering anything. And the hardest thing to do is to put faith in you, to trust you, to let you do what you want to do. But Lord, until we do, until we take the step of faith, we are going to live in fear. And fear will conquer and rule us. But if we're willing to take a step of faith, fear no longer has power. The enemy wants to use fear as a tool of leverage. But you want to use faith as a tool of leverage. So Lord, we got to choose. So I want to pray for everyone who's hearing this message today, that they might use the right tool, the tool of faith, to experience what you have for them. That we would all be so driven by the movement of faith that it would just draw so many to you. And this country is so desperate for a people of faith to rise up. So Lord, I pray that that would happen. That fear would be squashed because of faith in you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.